manifest itself in truth and in goodness.
Local.
The challenges that we're facing in our generation, we just need the gospel. I mean, every culture, every generation just needs to know how the gospel applies.
Engaging.
We don't bring any life at all to the church. The church still gives us the life.
Live.
The reality is, He is all things beautiful, capital B. And so anything that is authentically beautiful draws us, even if we don't realize it, to God.
Good morning. Welcome to Real Presence Live. My name is Jacques Daniel, and I am here with Michael Pauly.
Great to be with you, Jacques.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I'm used to being interviewed on Real Presence Live, so I'm glad that I get to shift roles and actually be the one asking the questions this morning.
Yeah, I thought it would be a perfect fit. So those of you who don't maybe are listening for the first time, you've never met Michael, tell us a little bit about yourself, Michael.
You bet. Well, I'm privileged to serve as executive director of the South Dakota Catholic Conference. And for any listeners who aren't familiar, the Catholic Conference is basically the voice of the Catholic bishops of South Dakota in the public square. So I get to go to peer during legislative session and lobby, and also work on a lot of other public policy issues during the interim, including one that we're going to be talking about here shortly coming up, which is a ballot measure. But I don't want to spoil that side of the show. We'll get to that.
Perfect. Yeah, we have a full show, and it's wide variety. We're going to be talking about protecting South Dakota's kids. We're going to be talking about the upcoming diocesan for the Diocese of Rapid City invitation to a Marian consecration. We're going to be chatting with Father Tim about the tribunal and their work and the needs that they have. We're going to be talking about Shakespeare.
I know. The agenda is very eclectic this morning.
And then we're going to be chatting a little bit about parenting. So it's a full show. We're going to be all over the board. There's going to be something, I think, for everybody. And so, yeah, it's a good morning. We have coffee, we've got water, we've got this beautiful building right across the street from Armadillo's, right next to the mustard seed.
Yeah, although it's not ice cream weather today.
No, it's not. It's a little cool. It's such a beautiful weekend, and here we are. So, I think let's jump in, let's pray, and we have some thoughts. We want to share some thoughts on the gospel for today, so maybe we can just start with that.
Absolutely.
I don't know. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'll just take a moment as we begin this time together and call to mind God, who is always present. I reflect on these words from the Gospel of John. And so they said to Jesus, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." Lord, we just thank you again for this day and all the ways that you provide and take care of us. I just ask that you be with us in our conversations, be with our guests and our technology and all the things that need to happen. All those open our hearts, all those who are listening, to draw closer to you. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, they asked us to give a little bit of a reflection on the readings today, and I was praying with them this morning, and just some beautiful things that came up. The first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, and it's the stoning of St. Stephen. And I was reading that, and I thought, you know, I want to just back up a little bit, and so I went back a little bit further, Acts 6, and the full piece, because we just get the end of chapter 7, and I was just really just moved by Stephen, who's called to be a deacon, and he's called to witness to the word, and you know, immediately in this story, I love Easter time, because we're reading through all of these beautiful events, and there's all sorts of tension and drama and just excitement in the early church.
Yeah,
and this particular piece, you know, Stephen, I was just struck because it's a long piece, Acts 7. We just get the very tail end of what he says before he's stoned. But when you go back and read the whole thing, it's this beautiful exposition from like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and down to Egypt. And he tells the whole story of salvation and ends it with a beautiful reality that your ancestors, the people he's talking to, your ancestors, killed all the prophets. They persecuted them all, and then you guys killed Jesus, and here we are. And so he, you know, took a little note from how to win friends and influence people. And
Well, I was really struck by the fact that you know, traditionally, of course, we are accustomed to hearing this reading on the feast of Stephen, December 26th, and of course, you know, the symbolism there is that, you know, we have Christmas on December 25th, and the church doesn't even let a day pass, you know, before reminding us of the cost of discipleship, you know, by putting before us the first, you know, martyr of the church. And so it's just intriguing to me that just as we have that coming right after the Feast of Christmas, you know, now we're seeing it during the Easter season. Again, the church reminding us that part of discipleship is carrying our crosses. And for most of us, that cross is not going to be martyrdom, but for some it will, you know, even in this day and age.
And here's the beautiful thing, you know, it ties into the gospel for me in a way that I've been studying. So I'm in the middle, God willing, towards the end of getting my master's at the Augustine Institute. And so I've been studying a lot of St. Augustine. And two of Augustine's sort of themes play out in these readings. And one of them is he has this desire to go back through salvation history to show God is ordering all things, that he isn't disconnected. These things aren't just kind of happenstance, you know. But he's ordered everything in a beautiful way. For Augustine, that's a key thing. The other thing for Augustine is that, you know, his famous phrase is, our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Because you've created us for yourself, our hearts are restless until they rest in you. And what struck me in this reading, you know, is a typical, like, this is key, Eucharistic revival. We're in the middle of the, you know, towards the end of the Eucharistic revival. This is a Eucharistic, you know, John 6, the whole chapter. Jesus is setting up what he's going to be doing in the Eucharist.
Yes.
And yet that line at the end, you know, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. And just like at that level of our hunger and our thirst, Jesus comes. And Stephen, tying it together, Stephen felt that, you know, this moment, he's about to get killed. He's about to be destroyed, and yet he sees Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. He sees the whole, you know, he outlays the whole story in his mind. God is here and present and moving and ordered, and it doesn't matter what anybody does to him. He is there. He has Jesus, and he has this rest. And the very last line of that first reading, you know, it could be, you know, they bashed his head in with a bunch of rocks, and they carried his body off. But what does it say?
It says, he fell to his knees and cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he said this, he fell asleep.
And then he fell asleep.
Yeah.
He fell asleep. And again, just this beautiful Augustinian theme of order, and yet Jesus coming and giving us rest. And for Augustine, he goes all the way back. From the creation, everything is ordered towards rest. The seventh day we rest. This rest you can taste right now, and it's the rest that we have. And I've got a 2-year-old in the house, and I'm super excited about that rest. Personally, I'm super excited about the rest.
I imagine with the loud thunderstorm last night, you probably had frightened children coming into your room all night long.
Oh man, they were. It was a light show. They were like, "What is happening? This is fantastic!" Asking all sorts of questions. But the other thing that came to mind as I was thinking about this, you know, it's been so our youngest. So we have baby number 10 is coming in August.
Congratulations,
baby number 10.
Awesome.
And so we have. So for this 3 years of Eucharistic revival, we've had a baby and a 2-year-old, you know. And so this moment in the Mass for me where we actually receive communion, we receive the bread of life, is usually, right, this is the end of the Mass, and kids are wily, and they've, you know, endured a beautiful, moving homily, I'm sure, and the readings and all of the things that happen. And it's usually about the consecration, or by the time we go to communion, that they're starting to fall apart, you know.
Yeah.
And so I've been thinking about, you know, as I've studied this, just this desire to receive Jesus and to rest and to be with Him, and it's just total chaos. And so, what has happened is that that I, in an attempt to like try to draw them in, I've received communion, and I'll pull them really close, mostly so they don't burn the place down, but just so they can hear, and I'm not just distracting the people around me. But just to like pray with them and to like try to draw them into the beauty in this moment of receiving Jesus in the Eucharist, and so all of that was in my head in prayer this morning as I was wide awake, worrying whether the Comrex was gonna connect to RPR and whether the door was going to be unlocked and all the things that
beautiful
in my heart and mind this morning. Well, we should get started with the show.
You bet.
We have on the line Dr. Tamara Grove and in studio Representative Rhonda Milstead. And so welcome to Real Presence Live. We have a really important topic this morning. And so, let's jump in. Maybe just introduce yourselves. Yeah. We'll start with Rhonda.
Oh, I'm Rhonda Milstead, and I was a legislator for 4 years. Currently, I am a wife of a law enforcement man. I'm a mother of two, a grandmother of seven, and one on the way. And just a longtime South Dakota resident, and I love our beautiful state. And I have loved this conversation that you gentlemen have had. That has been awesome and very blessed by it. Thank you.
All right. Dr. Tamara, good morning.
Good morning. I greet you from the rainy land of Iron Nation. My name is Dr. Tamara Grove. I live here in Lower Brule. My husband and I pastor a church here and absolutely love it. I'm really grateful to be here. I got to lobby with Representative Milstead and Protecting South Dakota Kids, and just grateful to be here. And I, too, enjoyed what you all were saying. So,
wonderful. Wonderful. Well, let's just dive right into it. So you're both leaders in Protecting South Dakota Kids. So tell us how this group came about and what's the mission?
Protecting South Dakota Kids began with someone you all know and love, Jim Kenyon and Bob Fisher, who in July of 22 gathered a bunch of like-minded people together looking at this whole marijuana issue as it came to the ballot for the fourth time and said, enough is enough. The public wasn't hearing what they needed to hear, rather ambivalent to the whole idea, and they wanted to get out and educate people and just turn this whole thing around.
Awesome. And so the group was formed right prior to the last statewide ballot vote that we had on marijuana, correct?
Correct.
And some of our listeners may be familiar with that, but just talk briefly about what happened in that ballot vote?
Yeah, July of 22, and the vote was in November. So really we had 3 months to put something together, and just a lot of boots on the ground volunteers got out there. The vote was pretty amazing. It was 53% against to 47-4. And you know what was very awesome was that 61 counties in the state of South Dakota said absolutely not. And many of those counties were 70 and 80% absolutely not. But the county that really pushed it over the edge was Sioux Falls. Sioux Falls was a yes, not by much. But if we can turn Sioux Falls around, I think we can kick these people out once and for all.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm going to just toss you, I guess, what I consider the obvious question in this whole debate about marijuana is that based on public opinion polls that I've read, a significant share of the population, at least nationally, this is national poll data, not state level data, but national data shows that a lot of people just think marijuana is no big deal. So I don't know whether you want to tackle this or maybe Dr. Grove, but what is the big deal with marijuana? What's the harm from it? Do you want to take that one, Tamara?
Yeah, if I can just throw my two cents. You know, I probably was more leaning over the years towards, you know, what's the big deal? Calm down, everyone. But when you really start to do the research and you start to understand that, well, first of all, weed, pot, dope, whatever you want to call it, is nothing like it used to be. Like, we're at a whole nother level of the amount of THC and the amount of damage that it does to a person. And then when you start to talk about the conversation of legalization, you have to consider what it does to children. And, you know, adults is one thing, but when you start to bring in marijuana and children, you're talking about kids who don't, they're not mature, their brains are not mature. And so it's messing with the way that the brain builds connections for functions like attention or memory or learning. And then you start to throw in the psychosis and all that kind of stuff. And this becomes a whole different level of conversation.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and there's, you know, ample evidence, I think, that children... either intentionally or inadvertently gain access to this harmful drug. Is that not true?
It is. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Go ahead, Tamara.
Well, I just want to say that picks on a really big issue that we fought this whole legislative session, but I'll be quiet. Go ahead, Representative.
No.
Well, just for our listeners, we're here with Dr. Tamara Grove and Representative Rana Milstead talking about legalizing marijuana and protecting South Dakota kids, not legalizing marijuana, actually, and their efforts. And so we're just going to take a quick break, and when we come back from the break, we're going to hear more about this effort and things that ways that listeners can get involved.
Awesome.
Live, engaging, and local. This is Real Presence Live, where we bring you positive and uplifting stories and share the great things happening in our local area on the Real Presence Radio Network.
What if you could earn a degree that offers the best of both worlds, an MBA and a master's degree in philosophy? The University of Mary offers one degree that combines world-class business training with a careful study of life's deepest questions through their combined MBA, MA, and philosophy program. By earning one degree in both philosophy and business online, you will rigorously engage the big ideas needed to address professional challenges. Visit CatholicProfessional.life.
This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus crosses the Sea of Galilee with his disciples and quickly falls asleep, even as their boat is amidst a huge, life-threatening storm. The text says that the sea was literally shaking like an earthquake. Imagine the disciples' fear as they awake their master saying, "Master, do you not care that we perish?" Note that they wouldn't have been in this dangerous situation if they had not gotten in the boat to begin with. They are committed, no matter how big the storm. After setting sail in his boat of radical missionary discipleship, it can often seem that God is asleep or uncaring when we are troubled by the storms of life. The good news is that he is in fact always there and always ready to calm the storm when the time is right. Sometimes the storms are there to show us our total dependence on him and not on ourselves. Jesus, we trust in you.
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
Did you know you can listen to the RPR Network when you're on the go? Just search for Real Presence Radio in your app store. Listen live to any station across the network at any time, so you can stay connected to your local community from wherever you are. Plus, if you miss a program, the Real Presence Radio app is your one-stop shop for local and national podcasts, including our signature show, Real Presence Live. The Real Presence Radio app, with you every step of your faith journey. Download it today and see what you've been missing. You're listening to Real Presence Live. Now, back to more inspirational and uplifting stories and a look at the extraordinary things happening in our local area. Heard right here on the RPR Network.
Welcome back to Real Presence Live. My name is Jacques Daniel, Director of Communications for the Diocese of Rapid City, here in the Chancery Building with Michael Pauly.
Yep. I'm Michael Pauly, Executive Director of the South Dakota Catholic Conference, and we have with us this morning Representative Rhonda Milstad and Dr. Tamara Grove, and we're talking about protecting South Dakota kids and marijuana. So before the break, we were talking about some of the harms associated with marijuana, and I'm just wondering, Rhonda, can you give some examples, maybe just, you know, statistics? My sense is that you give people the statistics about harm and their eyes glaze over. We're bombarded with statistics. So maybe on an anecdotal level, just share some information with our listeners about the harms associated with this drug.
Yeah, I know Tamara had addressed what it does to kids' minds. You know, they're developing till they're 25. A mother who's a friend of mine, her child started using marijuana off and on just at a very young age. And to this day, you know, he's in his 30s, and he has no ambition, no, he's just not going anywhere. He can't hold a job, he can't hold a marriage together, kids. I mean, he's just totally lost it. So for a mother just to watch your kid go downhill like that, a school nurse in our area just recently told me that a young woman came to her in seizures and throwing up, and she had no idea what to do, it just scared her. She gave this person, it was a high schooler, Narcan, and I mean Narcan's not dangerous, but it can alleviate a drug response. Gave her Narcan to bring her out of it, and in the process of all of that, finding out that kids nowadays, they've got apps on their phones, they can find their drug dealer, you know, and maybe I'm going a little off topic, but one of the things that the industry keeps telling us is if it's legal, kids won't use it. Nationwide, we've proven that wrong. Kids are going to find it, and the more we as adults make it normal, our kids are going to get it, and they're going to think it's okay, and we're going to destroy our kids.
Yeah, yeah, no, that is so true, and, you know, it's funny, but this is sort of a different issue, but I was doing a lot of work on legislation related to regulating obscenity, you know, during this last legislative session, and in the process of that research, I stumbled across this speech from Pope Francis, and he had, and I'm paraphrasing his quote, I wish I had the exact quote in front of me, but his quote was to the effect of, "We would be deluding ourselves to think that in a society where an enormous amount of the adult population is addicted to pornography, that we could somehow keep kids from getting access to it." You know, that was the nature of his quote. And it just seems so apropos to the same thing could be said about drugs, you know, that we would be deluding ourselves to think that we could live in a society where you've got just a huge share of the population that's addicted to marijuana, but that somehow children, you know, aren't going to get access to it. You know, one thing I just want to talk about is in the last, I think it was the 2020 ballot measure on marijuana in South Dakota, the South Dakota State Medical Association put out a statement saying that societal costs of marijuana use include paying for increased emergency room visits, medical care, and addiction treatment for the uninsured, increased crime, and a negative impact on the health of those exposed to secondhand smoke. And, you know, that's the kind of quote you read and you want to ask yourself, which one of those things do we want to see more of in South Dakota? You know, I mean, isn't it just amazing that there seems to be a disconnect between the reality, you know, of what this drug does and people's perception that it's harmless? Either one of you want to comment on how does that dichotomy come about and how do we fix it? You know, I guess that's what the mission of protecting South Dakota kids is to close the gap between what is in reality and what people are thinking. Yeah, Dr. Grove, do you want to comment on that?
You know, I want to, just talking about what it does to children, and I think about how the industry itself really, truly kind of made this big play towards children. And it's interesting because they do the exact same thing for pornography. But there are products that currently are on the shelves in our state that look like candy, that are gummies, that are look like chips, you know. And so to think that this industry is just happy with messing with adults is really naive. And you think about Colorado and what happened there, you're talking about, they have a a fact sheet. And this is actually old because it says that they were ranked third in the nation, and I believe they're number one now. But in Colorado, it says for ages 12 and older, marijuana usage increased by 26% and is 61% higher than the national average. Now, that's pretty frightening.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And Colorado has unfortunately distinguished itself in a number of areas for, like, traffic deaths. You know, I think the statistic is one in every five traffic deaths in Colorado now involves a driver who has tested positive for marijuana. Just really astonishing. So I want to, you know, we're coming up. We got about 4 minutes or so left here to talk about this. And I want to, you know, kind of segue a little bit towards, I know we have, you know, listeners in many, many, several states, not just South Dakota, but because we do have a ballot initiative coming up here in South Dakota, I want to make sure we touch on that. So tell us where things stand now with this perspective, because it hasn't been qualified for the ballot yet, but it might be qualified. So, Rhonda, can you give us an update on the ballot measure?
They have until May 7th and to get 17,000 signatures. Seems like a drop in the bucket to me, but I will say that not to go off topic here, but this Life Defense Fund group has had people at all of these popular petition places, and they're turning away these petitioners. And, you know, the maybe it won't make the ballot. I mean, we can pray that it won't make the ballot. You know, I mean, they're having a hard time because people walk away. They see an obstacle in the way, so they're leaving. And that's been good for both of these measures. If we and you know, the thing is, to me, it's not South Dakotans that have the petitions out there. They're paying people to stand there and do petitions. They bring people in from out of state. They're paying them. It's not you and me that are trying to push this. You know, we get to the ballot box and we think, well, it's just this benign drug, whatever. But anyway, it's just not South Dakotans, and it's not really who we are. And we need just to get that message. What you were saying about all of the bad things, there are no good things.
Yeah.
And why people think that it's just this casual benign drug is beyond me.
Yeah. What's been, you know, something to, you know, that's just been on my awareness is that, you know, I'm not, I have 10 kids, kiddo number 10 on the way, and I've just noticed in Rapid City, since even just a little bit has been, you know, you just get a little crack in the door, and it's suddenly like almost every street corner, there's a vape shop and a head cloud, and, you know, and it just seems like it's,
yeah,
exploding, you know. And and as a father of children who, you know, we're in the midst of celebrating Easter, and I reluctantly gave my kids sugar, you know.
Yeah, no, it is unfortunate that it feels like, you know, we legalized marijuana for medical use in South Dakota, and it seems like what that has evolved into is what you might call recreational light, you know, where basically you have a few hoops that you need to jump through, very minor, to walk away with a card that entitles you to use marijuana for medical purposes. And it just seems that, what are we up to, like 13? I think it's
20,000.
It's 20,000.
In November.
That is astonishing that's mm-hmm. how... I think when voters voted to legalize marijuana for medical purposes, I don't think that they, you know, envisioned that tens of thousands of people in South Dakota, you know, I think they envisioned that something more than minor back pain probably would be necessary to qualify for a medical card. But it just seems like the door has been, you know, has been blown wide open on that. So, well, we're coming up to the end of our time here. So we don't know, just to recap, we don't know whether this measure is going to get the signatures to qualify for the ballot. We pray that it doesn't. But let's, you know, I always like to joke that hope is a theological virtue, but it's a lousy campaign strategy. So while we certainly can hope that, you know, that it doesn't come to pass, let's say that it does. If people want to get involved in protecting South Dakota kids, where's the website where they go for more information?
It's protectingsdkids.com.
Okay, protectingsdkids.com. If you want to get involved in keeping South Dakota marijuana free, that's where you go.
So. Thank you, Dr. Grove and Representative Rhonda Milstead. Thank you for joining us. Michael's not going anywhere. He's sticking with us. But when we come back from the break, we're going to talk to Sister Sarah Kowal and Bridget Grappentine about a diocesan-wide effort to draw us closer to our Lord through our Blessed Mother Mary. And so if you are with us and your coffee is getting cold, get a refill and join us after the break. And we'll be right back on Real Presence Live.
Live, engaging, and local. This is Real Presence Live, where we bring you positive and uplifting stories and share the great things happening in our local area on the Real Presence Radio Network.
Are you thinking about making a gift to Real Presence Radio now or in the future? The easiest and best way to help further our work is with a gift of cash or a gift of stock. These two types of gifts have an immediate impact on our mission. We can begin using the resources you provide to further our mission of evangelization right away. Experience the joy of giving. Call Mike at 701-290-4503 or visit our website at rprlegacy.org. Thanks for your prayerful consideration.
In today's world, we are enslaved to addiction. I'm Father Chris Alar. Alcoholism, pornography, and drug abuse have become the master of millions of lives, maybe even your own. Addiction has led to countless deaths by overdose and suicide. So what can be done about it? Victims often explain they are searching to escape the troubles of this world, or they are trying to find a form of ecstasy. Unfortunately, these enslavers provide neither. The experience is only pseudo, a fleeting imitation of an authentic spiritual experience. There's only one true spiritual experience that can provide fulfillment, and when you find it, you will find hope. Please visit suicideandhope.com so I can personally pray for anyone you've lost and to get our book, After Suicide, There's Hope for Them and You, which helps with any kind of suffering or loss, not just suicide. I promise it will help.
Let us run to Mary, and as her little children, cast ourselves in her arms with a perfect confidence. St. Francis de Sales. Join together with families across the local area for the Rosary, nightly here on Real Presence Radio. On Wednesday through Monday nights, tune in at 8 p.m. Central, and on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Central. Gather the whole family together and pray this powerful prayer with us. Join us for the Rosary Wednesday through Monday at 8 p.m. and Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central here on the RPR Network.